Our topic today is permission to mourn and to celebrate, and it centers around the word Eicha. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out in his Shiurim on Tisha B'Av that the word Eicha appears three times in the Torah. It appears, obviously, in Megillas Eicha. It appears in Parshas Devarim, and it appears in the first parak, the first chapter in Yeshaya. We actually lane all three with the melody of Kinos. Eicha is a loaded word. Rav Elazar HaKalir, in his Kinos, adopts that word for the start of his Kinos, like Eicha Eli. What is the message of the word Eicha? What does the word Eicha mean? Eicha is a question of how. It's a question of why. Eicha is a challenge. It asks someone, the person to whom it is addressed, how could you have done this? I challenge and question your judgment. If you take a look on your source sheet, you find source number one, the pasuk in Bereishis, in the third parak, after Adam and Chava have eaten from the fruit. Vayikra Hashem Elokim el Ha'adam. Hashem calls to Adam, Vayomer lo Ayeka. And he says to Adam, Ayeka. Literally, we take Ayeka to mean, where are you? But we understand this to be an element associated with the word Eicha. There's an element of Eicha in the word. Hashem is saying to Adam, how could you have done this? I created this universe. I created this beautiful garden. I put you and Chava in the garden, and I asked you only for one thing, just not to eat from the fruit, and you ate from it. Ayeka, how could you have done this? That's the ordinary form of Eicha. The ordinary form of Eicha is Hashem coming to a human being and saying, how could you have done this? Normally, a human being does not have the right to turn that around on God. If you take a look at source number two, Mishnah from the last parak in Brachos, Chayav Adam Levarech al Hara, Kishem Shemavarech al HaTova. A person is obligated to bless for the bad, just as he blesses for the good. Our reaction when we hear terrible news, we hear someone passed away, we say, Baruch Dayan HaEmes, blessed is the judge of truth. A person does this at a funeral, most famously, through Tziduk Hadin, right? We have a ritual that we perform, it's right before the Kaddish, in which we read out psukim, we read out passages from the Torah that say, whatever Hashem does is fair. Whatever Hashem does is just. The Rav quoted a Sifri to support this idea of Tziduk Hadin, that we accept the verdict. It's source number three, the Sifri on Parshas Ha'azinu, on the Pasuk of Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo, which recognizes that Hashem's deeds are just. You see the Sifri there in source number three on your sheet. Kishatavsu as Rabbi Hanina ben Tragion. When the Romans captured Rabbi Hanina ben Tragion for the crime of teaching Torah, Nigzara alav gezera lisarif im sifro. They decreed that he would be burned with his Torah. Right? We're familiar with the story. They would wrap him in the Torah scroll and burn him and the scroll. And they actually put wet sponges inside between him and the scroll in order to slow things down so that he should suffer. Amrulo nigzara alacha gezera lisarif im sifracha. They told him of this decree. They said it's been decreed that you would be burned along with your scroll, and kara hamikra azat surah tamim pa'alo, and he recited the pasuk, Hashem's deeds are just. Amar li'ishto, they told his wife, nigzra ba'alech gezera li'sarek ve'alayech le'hareg, they told his wife, it's been decreed that this is going to happen to your husband, and you will be executed. And she recited the next part of the pasuk, kara hamikra azat kel emuna ve'in avel, the part of the pasuk that declares Hashem to be a faithful God, there is no corruption with him. Amar lebito, so they went to his daughter, and they told his daughter, your father is going to suffer this way, your mother is going to be executed that way, and you are going to be sent to slave labor. V'alayach la'asos malacha. And so she uses a pasuk in Yirmiyah, also associated with Tziduk Hadin, this acceptance of Hashem's verdict. Gedol ha'itza v'rava aliliyah asher enacha pekuchos. Hashem is great in his counsel, he does great deeds, his eyes are open, he sees all. And Rebbe praises them for this Tziduk Hadin. That's usually the person's reaction. That's usually the way one reacts to a horrible event. We are taught that we are supposed to respond with Tziduk Hadin, saying, well, if Hashem did it, it must somehow have some justice to it. Hashem is the one who says Eicha to us. We don't say Eicha to God. So how is it that on Tisha B'Av we say Eicha? Not only that, how is it on Tisha B'Av we say Eicha? Tisha B'Av of all days. Where does Tisha B'Av come from? It doesn't begin with Chorban and Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't begin with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Tisha B'Av begins with the Meraglim, with the spies coming back with their negative report, the report that we can't possibly conquer the nations that are living in Israel, in the land of Canaan, and the Jewish people saying, "Ah, oh, Hashem, how did you do this to us? How could you have brought us out of Mitzrayim to die here in the desert? Weren't there enough graves in Mitzrayim?" We know the story. We're familiar already with these complaints. But they turn to Hashem and they say, "Eicha, how could you have done this? How could you have decided to do this?" That's the root of Tisha B'Av, is asking Eicha to Hashem. Not only that, take a look at source number 4. Soloveitchik pointed out that there's a debate in the Gemara about what we use for the laning on Tisha B'Av. But Tisha B'Av gufei maimav terinon. First the Gemara asks, what do we use for the Haftorah on Tisha B'Av? And Amar Rav Eicha Eicha Lezona. Rav quotes the first parak in Yeshayahu, the one that we use for Shabbos Chazon. Mikramai, what do we use for Kriyas HaTorah? Tanya, Braisa, says, Acherim omrim vim lo sishmi'uli. First view quoted in the Braisa says that they would read the Tochacha, the warnings that appear at the end of Sefer Vayikra. And then Rabbi Nosson bar Yosef comes along, and he says, no, that's not what we do. Rabbi Nosson bar Yosef says, our practice is to read from the 14th parak in Bamidbar, from the story of the Meraglim. When Hashem says, Ad'ani yinatzuni ha'am hazeh, how long is this nation going to blaspheme against me? V'yeshem ramad masay lo ayda ha'ra'ah hazeh, is also from that same section in Bamidbar. They were reading the Meraglim. That's the story they read, because that's the start of Tisha B'Av. The start of Tisha B'Av is the Jewish people questioning Hashem's judgment and saying, how could you have done this to us? So of all days on Tisha B'Av, we're going to say Eicha, asked the Rav. And the Rav explained that yes, on Tisha B'Av, we are indeed given permission to ask Eicha. He said, the way we view Eicha and Kinos on Tisha B'Av is as an analog to hesped, to eulogy. He said, when there's avelus chadasha, when there's new grief, new loss, a person goes into hesped mode, into eulogy mode. It's an expression of pain and grief. A person describes the wonders of the nifter, the one who passed away, and the bitterness of our loss. And that's what kinos are. That's what eicha is for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It's a eulogy. It's a moment of utter, complete despair. And the Rav pointed out that the Gemara in Megillah, I brought it here in source number 5, says that we usually try to end with the good. We don't make a bracha on a warning of punishment. However, if you look at the Haftarah for Tisha B'Av morning, you in fact find that it ends on a down note. At best, we can describe the end as musar, as being rebuke. This is a moment of hesped. It's a moment of sheer grief. And that's the time for Eicha, and that's the time for Kinos. How do we know that we're allowed to do that? Because Yirmiyah did it. Yirmiyah is our heter. He is our source. He did it with Eicha, which we read Tisha B'Av night. And only after Yirmiyah has done it, after Yirmiyah has voiced this question of Eicha, are we allowed to continue with our kinos? And then, Tisha B'Av morning, we do it as well. It's the Haftarah that we use on the morning of Tisha B'Av. Take a look at source number 6, the pasuk from the Haftarah, Ka'amar Hashem Tzvakos. So says Hashem, Hisbonenu, contemplate, V'kiru l'makonenos, Usvoena, call for the makonenos, call for the people who will mourn, call for the people who will grieve, call for those who will recite kinos. That's what Yirmiyah says. And then we start indeed to recite kinos. And so Eicha becomes a permissible theme, thanks to Yirmiyah. Now, as I understand what the Rav is saying, it sounds like he's saying simply, this is a moment of utter despair, and at that moment we are entitled to ask why. But I think there's another reason why Yirmiyah gives us permission on Tisha B'Av to ask Eicha, to say kinos. And it stems from an idea that I heard from the Rosh Hashiva in Keren B'Yavne, Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldberg. You take a look at source number 7, the Gemara in Bava Kamma, the story involving Eliezer Zeira. Eliezer Ze'ira Havasayim Misane Uchmi. Eliezer Ze'ira was wearing black shoes, V'koy B'shukin D'Nerda, and he was standing in the marketplace in Nerda. Today we look around and black shoes are not uncommon, but in those days, Jews didn't wear black shoes. Jews actually wore white shoes. There are discussions relating to this in the Gemara in various places, in particular regarding the question of wearing shoes or shoelaces that match those of the nations around you. But Eliezer Ze'ira was wearing black shoes in the market in Herda, and he stood out for this. So Ashkechu Devei Reish Galusa. Members of the staff of the Reish Galusa, the exilarch, the leader of the Jews in Bavel, encounter Eliezer Ze'ira. And they said to him, Maishna Hani Masani, what's with the shoes? Why are you wearing these different shoes? Amar Lehu Dekama Abilna Yerushalayim. He said, I'm grieving for Yerushalayim. Black was understood in the days of the Gemara as a color associated with grieving and mourning. Rabbi Yanai says, don't bury me in black, lest I look like a mourner, and that if I go into Olam Haba and I get a positive result in my verdict, I'll be a mourner among those who are celebrating. Leave aside the question of Rabbi Yanai and why the clothing he would be wearing in the grave would be with him in Olam Haba. It's a good question. But the point is that he shows you that black was associated with Avelus, with mourning. So this fellow, Eliezer Ze'ira, is wearing black shoes as a sign of his grief for Yerushalayim. Amrulei, the people from the exilarch's household, said to him, Ad chashivas lizabulei Yerushalayim? Are you significant enough a person to be grieving for Yerushalayim? Sabar Yorahu, they felt this was arrogant. Yorahava, this is arrogant. How can you go around saying, I am grieving for Yerushalayim? Siwa v'chavshua, and they took him and they imprisoned him. Omar Lehu, he said to them, all right, enough. Gavarava ana, yes, I am worthy. He didn't want to say to them initially that he was somebody of standing, but now they imprisoned him. He said, look, yes, Gavarava ana, I am indeed a person of status, and I can grieve for Yerushalayim. They asked, how do we know? And so he says, if you want, ask me a question and I will answer it to demonstrate my Torah knowledge. If you want, I will ask you a question to demonstrate what I know. They said, you ask a question, and the story continues. He demonstrates his status as a Talmud Chacham. What's going on in this story? Why doesn't he have the right to mourn for Yerushalayim? He has to be a Talmud Chacham to be able to grieve for Yerushalayim? And then, yeah, in addition to that, what's this business about being a Talmud Chacham? Why is it that being a Talmud Chacham earns you whatever it is, whatever right it is, to grieve? So, the Rosh Hashiva explained that avelus, mourning, grieving, is more than just a statement of, I am sad. It's a statement that I want back what I have lost. I want it back. That which has been taken from me, I want it to return to me. And you can't say that unless you're doing something to bring it back. For a Jew to say Eicha on Tisha B'Av is not simply for him to say, Hashem, how could you have taken this away from me? It's a statement of, and I want to do something to bring it back now. I want to do something to restore what I've lost. And so they imprison this man because they say, who are you? You think you're somebody who can grieve for the Beis HaMikdash? What are you doing to bring it back? And at first he doesn't say. But when he's in prison, then he tells them, I'm a person who spreads Torah. Because I spread Torah, that's what I am doing to bring it back, and therefore I should not be imprisoned. We find a similar idea when Abraham asks his own version of Eicha. Hashem tells Abraham about the pending destruction of the city of Sodom. And Abraham challenges and says, what kind of decision is that? How can you do that? How can you destroy them? There's a lack of mishpat. Hashofet kol haaretz lo yaseh mishpat. Hashem, are you not going to do mishpat? By what right does Abraham ask Eicha? By what right does Abraham challenge Hashem on the loss of mishpat? The answer is in the introduction to that section. When Hashem says, I love Abraham specifically because Asheyitzavez, Banavez, Beso, Ahav, Lasso, Tzedakah, O Mishpat. Abraham is going to instruct his household to perform Tzedakah and Mishpat. Abraham is someone who practices Mishpat. And therefore he's allowed to complain and say, hey, wait, where is the Mishpat into this? On Tisha B'Av, we're given the opportunity to ask Eicha. On Tisha B'Av, we are given the opportunity to mourn. because we also initiate the process of earning it back, of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Our Kriyas HaTorah on Tisha B'Av is not the Kriya of the Meraglim. We don't read the story of the Meraglim. Rather, we do as Abaye said in the end of source number 4, we read Kiso Lidbanim from Parshas Vayeshanan. Take a look, please, at source number 8 from that Kriya, from that Torah reading. We are told that when we seek out Hashem, after all the trouble, after everything befalls us, when we seek out Hashem, we will find Him. And you seek Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. When you're in trouble, and all these things encounter you, you have all these troubles, at the end, after all of this has passed, then you will return to Hashem your God, you will hear His voice, you will listen to His voice. Because Hashem is merciful. Hashem will not weaken you, He will not destroy you, and He will not forget the bris, the covenant that He made with your ancestors. This section, which comes from the Torah reading on Tisha B'Av, is Parshas HaTshuva. That's the section that tells us that repentance is possible. On Tisha B'Av, we go through a phase in which we are cut off from Hashem. As Yirmiyah says, Sasam tefilasi, Hashem sealed off my tefillah, my prayers. But then ultimately we pursue mechila, we pursue forgiveness. We do tshuva. We're called upon to do tshuva, and we do it. And we make the statement that we're not simply questioning and saying, Hashem, how could you? But we're doing things to correct it. We're doing things to bring back the Beis HaMikdash. When we are misavil properly, when we mourn properly, we will merit to see the fulfillment of source number 9. Source number 9 quotes the pasuk, Sinchuas Yerushalayim, the Gilu Bakala Avel, glad in Yerushalayim, make her joyous, all those who love her. Sisu Itamasos, Kala Misablim Alel, celebrate with her, all those who mourn for her. That's the pasuk. Mikan Amru, and based on that, the Gemara says, Kala Misabel Al Yerushalayim, Zelche Veroa Besimchasa, one who grieves for Yerushalayim, one who asks Echa and says, Hashem, how could you? And then does something to earn it back, Zoha V'roa B'Simchasa, will merit to see its joy.